Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
So kids church, you can go out with Auntie Belinda. Yoo-hoo, give the kids a hand as they go. We used to have a song, Kids of the Kingdom, that's what we are. Kids of the Kingdom, that's what we are. We love Jesus. We love the Lord. We love the Lord. We love the Lord. That was our little jingle when the kids went out. It just reminded me of that. And my beautiful wife, I've been sitting there. If you haven't guessed, it's a prophetic morning. And I love the prophetic. We're in a spirit-filled church, so we're going to do things prophetic. And what a great way to express. Music is a way to express things to God prophetically. And artwork is amazing. Celine's doing another one down on the floor here. Do you guys want to say anything about what's happening? Have you got the mic there? Just awesome. Oh, you got some money? Oh, you can give it to me. Awesome. Thank you. Who's the money? What can you tell us what's happening?
Yes, certainly. I'll try. Sorry. Hi. Okay, during the week I was asking the Lord what he would like for me to express to you, and I just read some stuff there.
Yeah. Do you want to hold that?
I'm just in the middle of reading this book called Spirit Wars by Chris Vallotton. Very good book if you'd like to read it. And as I was reading, in the book there was, I think I've got glasses, sorry.
Yeah, I'll hold your book for you too.
In the chapter titled The Flesh is Weak, it says, it starts off with, we humans are complex creatures. The triune nature of our being creates a beautiful, intricate ecosystem of spirit, soul and body. When that ecosystem functions according to God's design, it is like poetry in motion. In fact, Paul said, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's from Ephesians 2:10. The Greek word for workmanship is, excuse my pronunciation, poema, from which we derive our English word poem. In other words, we humans are God's poem. God spoke and we became his living message to a desperate, dying world. Sorry, I'm nervous, I'm losing my breath. And Paul also writes, you are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And that's in 2 Corinthians 3:2-3. So my painting is depicting our human heart. And I want everyone to know that God is actually writing a poem on your heart, and he's also writing your journey and your destination and your significance. It's being written on your heart, not on tablets of stone, how the law was written, but it's love. So that's basically what I'm endeavouring to portray in that artwork.
Mm. Awesome, thank you.
Diane?
This is all new for me. I've never done this before. And Susan's been amazing just guiding us in this process. We came here yesterday and we prayed. And in the prayer room this morning, I really got about, you know, the freedom of God and not looking back, but going forwards. And we have just such a great opportunity, because we have Christ, to see our life in a different place than what we face every day, to see it in faith in a different place because of God and Him bringing freedom into our lives and us knowing who we are, and that we can actually go forward and we can see the breakthrough and we can leave the past behind and we can keep triumphing on, and we are victorious because of Him. And so when I began to paint this morning and with the worship, I really sense the freedom of God, and just when God moves in our lives and His freedom, we can't always pinpoint it. We can't control it. We've got to go with it. We've got to go with God. And so it's more about going with that freedom. And the freedom goes, the freedom of God and the Spirit of God goes wherever it needs to go. And we just have to trust God in that, that He's got our life and our heart with His best interests. And He's always got a plan, but we walk in freedom, and we should never try and box God, but we should always believe in faith and go with it. And this morning, I'm going with it.
Awesome, that's great.
I'd just like to explain the prophecy over these, if you could. I was thinking as they've been doing the paintings, and I've been just praying about it, and I was thinking, what do we see? And I was thinking what you've just said, that what you see, Sue, but everybody sees something different. I just like to explain what I saw in the prophetic. I see this picture here as like coral in the sea. And if you ever see coral in the sea, the waves and it, but see, it's out there now, all that colour of the coral, but who sees it? None of us. It's all hidden. It's the same with Sue's heart. It's hidden. Our hearts are hidden. But it moves inside of us with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, as we allow the Spirit of God move, He'll move our heart. And I just saw that as coral. I can't see Selena's over there, but
yeah, we'll come to
but
it.
But I just want to finish on one other little thing, and that's the hair on her head. I was praying about this. God knows every hair on her head. And He said every stroke in those paintings is like the hair of her head. That just didn't occur. I don't know how many strokes you've put into that, either of you, but I watched you doing stroke, and it's just like the hairs on her head. Just what every stroke is like the hair on your head. God knows every stroke in her life.
Awesome. Good. And I know she's embarrassed. Can you hold it up? Would that be okay? Awesome.
Oh, I think it's meant to see that. It's bleeding.
It's bleeding.
Want
to say anything?
It's just cheap coffee from Aldi. I was not allowed to bring in any paints or any canvas or anything good, just cheap coffee. And the messages, and it's meant to bleed like that. I just saw His big eyes looking up at heaven, and the message is to glorify God with whatever you have. If it's cheap coffee, whatever skills you've got, don't wait for anything better. And I saw those flames of fire. He was just coming out of the fire. So like Anthony said, our hearts should be on fire. Awesome. And glorify Him with whatever you have right now, with all your heart.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Wow, that's amazing. And that is nice coffee too, by the way.
Hey, can I share?
You can.
Yeah, this morning I had a lot of things that I was thinking about. But I had a little Facebook message that I put on, the most treasured things we have. The most treasured things we have is family, and people that are important in our lives. And I wrote a little message under my little picture in the inbox where you can't see it unless you click. But going with what's going on here, I say, good morning, family and friends. Have joy and love in your heart that it will last forever. You just have to look inside yourself and know who you are and what you're made up of is love, okay? In your heart. And then it says, simply live life, continue living and giving love and let it flow.
Hey, Andre, by the way, brother, I could cry for you, okay? Like, honestly, all the time. What I see in Diane's, I see, first of all, I see a wing, which is like a sign of freedom, like a wing soaring above. Then I also see a feather, like the dove's feather. That this is what I see. And then I also see an eagle's eye. So it's just like, be bold, don't fear, then there's peace and then there's freedom, whatever.
Awesome. You know you can just butt in at any moment, okay? So if it's really important, you know, just come and butt in. It's freedom. I'm serious when I say that. So I'm going to turn it off and put it down there. Okay. Well, I wanted to, this morning, to continue with my belt of truth, but God didn't allow me to. How can you do that when there's so much prophetic going on? And the Lord hit me, I don't know, it was yesterday afternoon, with just some prophetic stuff for our church. But I also, as I was sitting there too, just felt a word this morning was the word deliver. He is our deliverance, but more the word deliver. And my beautiful wife, we have three children. Our first child, Ben, he was in labour for nearly 24 hours, which was a long time, and we're walking up and down the road trying to get this baby to turn around and do the right thing and come out. And it was quite a traumatic time of deliverance. And we went to hospital, and the story is we ended up with Ben, our eldest boy, who's now 24. And then we had a beautiful girl, and Alana, she's nearly 21, and she was a really easy child, and still our easiest child. Matthew, however, our third child, he has only about an hour and a half to, you know, come out. And I had the privilege of having a go of delivering the child. I watched all the birth of all my children, and I was nearly in on the second one to have a go, but my third one, I actually got in and had a go with the doctor. So I had I had all the gear on, and he came out, and I had the tremendous privilege of helping deliver my third child. Now, I just feel prophetically this morning, I'm not talking about natural birth, I'm talking about spiritual birth, is I'm believing that God is wanting to pull what he is growing inside of us out. We're in birthing class right now. So it's the birthing pains are here now. What he's developed on the inside of you is fully formed and ready to come out. And I believe prophetically as a church and as a people, we are ready to come out as a church and as a people. And we have to believe that God has developed something special on the inside of us as a church individually, but corporately. We are being delivered into what God wants us to be and to do. The title of my message this morning is Barrenness Comes to an End. Barrenness Comes to an End. I want to just say God is the God of the impossible. If you take the word im away, it's possible. If you take the word, the letter I away and m away, it's possible. You actually have to take you away from the scenario. You have to take the I away and you have to take the thinking away, and all of a sudden things become possible. It becomes possible. What's impossible becomes possible with God. I also woke up this morning with a prophetic scripture, and it's Isaiah 41 and verse 18. And it says this, I will make rivers flow on barren heights. Just think about that for a second. I will make rivers flow on barren heights. Rivers don't flow on heights. It's something that it has to come down into the valley for it to flow. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water. So whatever the desert has been feeling like right now, it's going to be a metropolis of trees growing, plants growing, life growing, in pools of water, and a parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set pines in the wasteland and the fir and the cypress together. So if you're wondering if there were any trees in the Bible, there they all are, all in one verse. So that the people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. My mind just goes like, what? This is incredible. Receive that this morning as a prophetic verse for the church. You and I are like trees of righteousness growing in what feels like and looks like in the natural a desert. But it's not. God is causing the river to flow and the barrenness to cease. And if anything, I want to grab hold of your spiritual baby and pull it out today. It's no time can it sit there any longer. Has your daughter had the baby yet? What did she have? Little Willow Rose. And how many pound? 7 pound 4. Any other statistics? How long? Lots of hair. Okay. That's wonderful. Can we give God a hand? He's God's marvelous creation. He created it. It says here, He created it. He's created all of the best inside of you. And now all it needs is to be drawn out. Sometimes we can't get it out ourselves. And sometimes we need somebody else to give us a hand. Sometimes we need those spiritual forceps to get in there. God forbid having to cut. We're believing in natural spiritual birth. That's what my wife always said. I'm having natural births and no painkillers. That's how she wanted to do it, and that's how she did it. Her pain threshold is way higher than mine. I bust my thumb and I'm a little girl. Compared to her, mate, I tell you what. But some other scripture that comes along with this is that Jesus said in reference to the rich young ruler in Matthew 19:26, Jesus says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. with men. You cannot do it on your own. These ladies can't draw on their own. They're believing that God is using their prophetic, their hand, the God-given gifts inside of them. If I tried to draw that, Celine, it would be totally different. My tongue would be all over it and I would have licked it up by now. I would have had to put sugar on it, though. I'm thinking also the angel said to Mary and Elizabeth in Luke 1, 35 to 37, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her 6th month, for nothing is impossible with God. I want you to receive this morning, that nothing is impossible for God, that something is happening, something is brewing inside of us now, and it needs to be released. It needs to be birthed. If it doesn't get birth, it becomes a stillborn, and then we've got to start all over again. Now is the time. It's not in the natural, it's not what we see, it's in the spirit. And we must get this, and it's a crucial time in the life of this church, I believe, prophetically. Whatever God has placed inside of you needs to come out now. We need to have a big birth right now in this church. I believe God has placed inside every single one of us things that we are to do, and you've been growing over time. And over this period of time, it's been fully developed, spiritually fully developed, and needs to come out now. That could be anything from prayer through to whatever. Needs to happen now. I want to take us through really quickly the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. If you've got that, your Bible there or your iPad, and it's the story of Elijah, and there's this big contest, and I'll just set the stage. There's a severe famine in the land. Jezebel was killing all the prophets. And don't we know that the enemy wants to kill the prophetic voice? But then there was this little guy somewhere in the story, Obadiah, that is saving some of the prophets and putting them in caves and looking after them. But that's another story. But we pick up in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the land. Now Ahab was the meanest king of Israel that they've ever had. He was so removed from God it wasn't funny. Am I right? And if you look back in the chapter before that, you'll see it. He was the worst king of all of the previous kings, all put together. He was the worst of the worst. He married Jezebel. And he was worshipping Baal. And he was set up Asherah poles and basically was taunting God, come and get me. He was making God angry. That was the kind of king that this dude was. And God asked Elijah to go and have a chat to him. He was going to be the deliverer. He was going to deliver a message to Ahab. How would you go? Not very well. Oh, man, I reckon I'd struggle. You know, God's asking you to do this thing and I'm going, well, But in 1 Corinthians 4:20 it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk but of power. It's of power, it's of action, it's of now. We can't play it safe anymore. The church must awake from whatever sleep it might be in. You might be awake. Well, great. Wake somebody else up. Do whatever you have to do. Wake them up for the kingdom's sake. For kingdom's sake, get your act together. I've just sort of paraphrased the first 16 verses for you. Aren't you happy about that? So come down to verse 16, and here we read in here something quite amazing, and it's really the stage is set now for a showdown of God's power. And so here we see in verse 16, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And when he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel? And Elijah comes straight back and says, "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your family have." He knew who he was. He knew exactly who he was. When the enemy comes to you and he comes to you and says, "You're hopeless," what's your response? "No, I'm not." Any other things from advances on "no, I'm not"? Pardon? Christ is not. What would you say? What do you say when the enemy comes and he taunts you and he says these things to you? We must know our identity is in Christ. That must be our first response. Is that. In fact, we've been put into Christ. Acts 17:28. In him we live and move and have our being. It's in him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. Human being. You have your being in Christ. John 15:4. We abide in him and he in us. Ephesians 2:6. We've been seated in him, with him in heavenly places. Where is Jesus now? Seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's living in my heart by faith. But right now he's seated at the right hand of the Father on his own throne with all power and all authority. And Ephesians 2:6 says that you've been placed there too by faith. You've been given all power and all authority just like Jesus. And we need to start to demonstrate that now. And in fact, I've got to try and pull that out of us. I've got to pull it out of me, because this earthly tent seems to struggle a bit with stuff. It's a little bit of a crack pot, to be honest. And we seem to stumble at times. But by faith, we are healed. By faith, we have been delivered into an amazing journey with Christ. He is in us and we are in him. So my first response is, no, I'm in Jesus Christ. No, I'm a new creation. That old life has gone, enemy. This new life is here and it's here to live. He lives in my heart right now. And I have freedom. And it's because of him. That's my prophetic word for you. Okay, let's go on. I'm trying to get through here quickly if I can. Let's just go down to verse 30. Which is basically showtime. No, we won't. We have to read this, because sometimes this is really what happens to us. This whole story in the natural, in the flesh. This next bit, this is sort of like sometimes where we're at, and we sort of let the enemy just have his full go. And now we're going to look at a contest right now. I have not made trouble, he says. So he knew who he was, but you and your family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount, I always say Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word through out of Israel to assemble the prophets on Mount Carmel. And Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? So often we do that. We waver between our thoughts of, well, will I do this or will I do that? Will I do this? Will I do that? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left. Well, that wasn't exactly true, but it's how he felt. But Baal had 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. So there's two altars, two piles of wood, two animals cut into pieces. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of my Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. Then all the people said, what a great idea. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. O Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response and no answer. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, guys, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's in deep thought. Perhaps he's busy or traveling. I think that's hilarious. Maybe he's asleep and he must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears as what their custom was until their blood flowed. Midday passed and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice, but there was no response, no answer, and no one was paying attention. What a fascinating scenario. So you've got to imagine this story. Like, this has gone on all day, and they're going, well, my God never turned up. The God that I was believing in didn't turn up. Uh-oh, what are we going to do? In fact, he's taunting us now. He's actually taken the bag out of us. This is not a good scenario. So on walks to the stage Elijah, and verse 30, he says this, then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. You know, we need to repair the altar of the Lord. The altar of our heart needs to be repaired. Often it's fallen into rack and ruin because we don't feel like we want to do this or feel like that. I think church and the body of Christ is the most splendid place to be. You know, I've been in the wilderness. I've been in the wilderness church. I know what that feels like. It's God's blessing is on church. It's on the body of Christ. Well done for being here, because it's His heart. It's the Father's heart is for you to come into freedom, and the only way you'll come into freedom is because of Jesus. So prepare the altar of the Lord. So I trust you're preparing, which was in ruins. And don't forget, there's two altars, two stacks of wood, two sacrifice bulls. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came to him, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he dug a trench around it. So he goes further now. And he dug a trench around it large enough to hold two seers of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill four large jars of water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, and he ordered that they did it and a third time. And the water ran down around the altar and even filled up the trench. Who knows that's a lot of water? Who knows that they were in 3.5 years of drought? Who knows that water was extremely precious? You don't just throw water around for no reason. But remember the promise of God in the very beginning, it's going to rain. He was hanging on the promise of God, it's going to rain. God's going to cause it to rain. Interesting that, and what encourages me greatly is this little verse, wherever it went to. I don't know, it's in James anyway. It's in James 5:17, I think, somewhere in there, that Elijah was just a man just like you and me. He had doubts, he had all the problems, he had lack of faith, he had all those things going on. He was a man just like you and me. And that was pulled out of this story. So here we can see that this was this is going to have to be supernatural. This is impossible for fire to burn this altar now because it was totally, completely and utterly saturated. So verse 36, at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. So imagine that. Okay, you're the man. You're the woman. Step forward. You're going to pray now. God's fire is going to come down. How would you go? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? I don't know that I'd be able to do that. But you know what you can? If you hear it from God, you can. If you hear that rhema word from God, you can. See, within that rhema, within the rhema itself is the power of God. It's all wrapped up in that. Like a seed, like an acorn seed, within that acorn seed is the power to become an acorn tree, even though it's in seed form. And often God places seeds, his word, into our heart in seed form in order for it to germinate and to grow into something amazing for God. And I believe that's where we are as a church, is that God has formed something right now and it's more than just seed form. It needs to be birthed. No longer are we going to be barren anymore. We're going to have spiritual children all over the place. Isn't that exciting? Kids' church will never be the same again. So here we see, so I think we're at 36, somewhere in there. Let it be known today, this is his prayer, let it not be known today that you are the God of Israel and that I am your servant and I have done all these things at your command. So at his rhema word, at his command, I've done it. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. I pray that our hearts would turn back again to God, that the altar of your heart would be repaired, that you would turn your heart again once back to God, not the saying that it's not. But I'm just saying that needs to be that response. Like, we're not really responding the same way when we first got saved. When I was first got saved, man, I was a lunatic. I'm not saying become a lunatic, but it was in my heart. It was my heart response to the freedom that he gave. And it was through Jesus. And verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell, burned up the sacrifice, burned up the wood, burned up the stones, burned up the soil and licked up the water in the trench. My goodness. Did you hear what I just said? The fire burned up absolutely everything. It consumed everything. The rocks, the lot, was gone. That's the power of God. And that's the power of the God that we serve. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Then there's this little bit which we won't get into, and they went and killed all the bad prophets down at the water's edge. And here we get to the most exciting bit. And then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain." Elijah was prophesying the rain was on its way. So not only did he pray and all of this, the fire of God comes down and consumes everything, now he heads into the next hard thing, the next impossible thing, you know. Now it's going to rain. It hasn't rained for 3.5 years. So now it's going to rain. So he was prophesying by faith. You know, you actually have to see it on the inside first before it's actually seen on the outside. If you actually need to see by faith, we have spiritual senses of faith on the inside, that we need to see it by faith. See yourself healed. See yourself financially well. See that new job that you need. You actually need to see it on the inside first before it actually comes. And so Elijah, he was doing some serious seeing on the inside. Hadn't rained for three and a half years. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. And this happened 7 times. So he's got his servant, "Go and have a look at the sea, see if there's rain clouds coming." And 7 times it happened. "Go back, go back, go back, go back, go back, go back, go back, and see." Do you know that all of those go backs were one prayer? It was one whole prayer. It was based on the Rhema word of God that he had, "It's going to rain." And then the most exciting part, and I've left my prop to the end. Pity I've got to put these on. I'm seeing by natural at the moment. And the 7th time, the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew, that in other words, screw, back with the clouds, and the wind rose and heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. That is amazing. This little hand from a distance after 7 times was like this little man's hand up in the sky. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes we just see a glimpse of what God's going to do and we go, "God, is that really you? Are you really going to pour it out on me? Little old me? Yes, I am. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to touch you with the things that..." Sorry, I don't mean to point this hand at you. But it's just a picture of God's answer was right there. It was coming. It's on its way. It's being delivered right now. The answer is here. If you can see it by faith, and if I can pull it out of you, we will see it today. Prophetically, we see it today. Our hearts are being changed into the freedom that Christ has purchased for us on the cross. So we need to receive it by faith. There's stacks of stuff in here and even into the next chapter about this whole story. It just keeps going, oscillating between the natural and the spiritual. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. Would you dare to believe that God is going to be the deliverer for you today? Would you believe that? Whatever you're believing for, what are you believing for? He wants to deliver that today. And I'm prophetically speaking over this church that we are going into places that we've never been to before. We're going to have spiritual children in this place that are just going to be running around and are going to bring so much life to this place. You know, God's going to cause the river to run. The barrenness is going to go. It's now time for us to move forward into what God has for us. For nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? I know you do. If I said that in America, the place would go crazy. But I understand Aussie because I'm an Aussie. And we're quiet at times. That's an understatement. Some of us are quiet. Some of us are louder than others. But nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
Hey, we've got one. I'll say it one more time. Nothing is impossible with God.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And you got to do the hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Barrenness comes to an end.
That's it.
It's at an end today. You have to see it on the inside. I'm speaking prophetically today. The barrenness ends today. Nothing is impossible for God. Lord, I just pray for these people today. God, that we would just be delivered into your hands today. That we would be delivered into what you have us to do in this place. God, I pray that we would see great things and mighty things. We would see your hand at work. God, we just thank you, God, that you are the almighty God, the all-powerful God. We're the God of the impossible, making things possible. When I get I out of the road and me thinking out of the road, all things become possible. Father, I thank you, God, for healing in this place. That you've been believing for healing. See it on the inside right now. You've been believing for amazing worship. Well, see it on the inside. It's going to happen. You've been believing for finances, for a new job, for those sort of, well, believe, see it on the inside. Believe it now. He's the deliverer. He's delivering you now. You've been believing for an amazing, great church. Well, here it is. Where the rivers are running, where the Holy Spirit's moving, where people are being delivered and set free and salvation. And God, I declare and I decree the baptism in the Holy Spirit in this place. That we would move in power, in signs and wonders. That God, we would be the kind of people that are infectious, that are in love with each other and with your people and just can't wait to see each other again. Father, I thank you, God, that you are just absolutely amazing. Repair our altar if it needs repairing. Turn our heart back to you if it needs to turn back to you. If my heart is so far away, turn it now. I prophesy, turn my heart now. Even if you have to say it in your own mind, turn my heart now, God, back to you. I need you more. Under your wings. In the rest of God. Back on the journey. Back into that place where things are exciting. Things are moving. Things are happening. God, I thank you, God, for today. I see it by faith and it will come to pass. In your time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless your church. It's been a great Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.